This morning, we're going to look at the Word of God. When we see the gifts that Jesus gives and that just keeps on giving, I sat down and I thought about that. And I thought, okay, I have 4 weeks to share four things about Jesus. Because we take the whole month of December, and that's what we focus on, Jesus. Everything's about Jesus in the month of December, amen? And so as I looked through this, and I thought, okay, what are four things that I can speak about? And obviously I can speak about more, but I just wanted to pick four things so that each time you walk away from here, you walk away with an understanding of one thing. And so for the next month, I will tell you what I'm going to be speaking on. Today is the Word of God and how the Word of God just keeps on giving. Amen. I'll tell you what, I know so many people struggle and then they say, you know, Pastor, I was reading this passage and it just blessed my heart and it changed my whole mood, my whole attitude, my whole spirit. And so the Word of God keeps on giving. The next thing, which is next week that we're going to talk about, is the grace of God. Amen. And so what is the grace of God and how does the grace of God keep on giving and how does that benefit us as believers? The third week that we're going to look at, which I think is the 18th, if I'm right, and if I'm not right, it really doesn't matter. And so the third Sunday that we're going to talk about is forgiveness, the forgiveness of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, that forgiveness keeps on giving and the benefits we have from forgiveness. And then Christmas Day, which you want to be here on Christmas Day. Some people have said, Pastor, really, you're going to have church on Christmas Day? And my response is, you really asked that question? Right? It's Sunday morning. It's Christmas Day. What a wonderful opportunity we have. But to wake up on Christmas morning, the day we're celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can come to church that very morning and celebrate the reason why we have Christmas Day. Why in the world would we cancel church? So you could stay home and open up packages that you didn't deserve? No, we're coming. Some of you didn't appreciate that, especially you kids, but that's okay. But Christmas Day, we're going to be here, and what we're going to talk about Christmas Day is salvation. And how does that keep on giving? You know, we look at salvation as a one-time gift, but that's not really true. Salvation keeps on giving in so many aspects, and we're going to look at that. And so this morning, we're going to look at the Word of God. We're going to spend a lot of time in Psalms. So if you want to open your Bible to Psalms, we're going to bounce around. We're going to have the passages up here. But the reason I tell you that we're going to be in the book of Psalms is because you might want to start highlighting some stuff in there, or you might want to underline some things in there, and we're going to go through Psalms, and we're just going to keep going down so you can follow along if you wish. This morning, I want you to look at Psalm 119:103. 119:103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is sweet. It is sweet to the soul, sweet to the taste. Sometimes we hear the Word of God and it feels like a dagger that just goes through us, amen? And it's that conviction that hits us and all of a sudden we go, oh my goodness. But the reality is, guys, that when truth hits us, it really is sweet to the taste. We might not like it at first, but when we really think about it, man, what a blessing that the Word of God convicts us and guides us and directs us and teaches us and comforts us and corrects us. Because let's be honest, we are children, amen? We're the children of God. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't, you're not a child of God. So I don't want you to be deceived thinking that just because you're a human being, you're alive and you breathe, that you're a child of God. That would not be true. But if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, then you are a child of God's. And what does God do to His children? He spanks us. Amen. I know that's not a politically correct word today, but it's a true word. He disciplines us. Well, okay, that's not politically correct either. So I really don't know where to go with that, except for God says, I love you so much that I'm going to use my word to guide you and direct you, and yes, sometimes discipline you. And so as we see this, we see that the word of God truly is sweet as honey if we love Jesus. Now, if we don't, we find it offensive, amen? And of course, so many people do find it offensive today. But I was reading this story, and it says, the new pastor was asked to teach the junior high boys' Sunday school class in the absence of the regular teacher. He decided to see what they knew. So he asked, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? All the boys denied having done it. And the preacher was appalled by their ignorance. At the next elders meeting, he told about the experience. Not one of them knows who knocked down the wall of Jericho, he lamented. The group was silent until finally one seasoned veteran spoke up. Preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot, but I've known all those boys since they were born, and they're good boys. If they said they didn't know, I believe them. Let's just take some money out of the maintenance fund, fix the walls, and let it go at that. Amen. All right, for some of you are like, what's wrong with fixing the walls? When we look at the Word of God, and we go, okay, some know it, and it's sweet as honey, but then there's others that don't know it. And you know, guys, the truth is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, as those who say, Jesus is my Savior, He has given us His Word, and we should know it and understand it if we're truly going to appreciate the taste. Amen? And the sad part is that many don't know the Word of God. I get phone calls all the time or text messages. People will text me a question, and I look at it, and I go, there's no way I'm texting the answer to this one. So I hit call, because we need to discuss it and share it. And there's so many people who go, well, I don't believe this is true, and it's not in the Bible. And I'm going, oh my goodness. And so my first response is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Yes. Okay, then you don't know the Word of God. Last night we were having, we went to Walmart, and my wife and we ran into several people that we knew at Walmart, and one of them tried to light a fire in there. I don't even know why. Ray, why did you light a fire in Walmart, buddy? All the workers from Walmart were coming up. They're literally marching down the aisle doing this. And they get to where we're standing, and they look, and they are going. And I said, oh, you smell the fire. And they go, yeah, what is it? And I go, has nothing to do with my sermon. But at any rate, I just wanted to tell on Ray a little bit. And so, actually I lit the fire. It was me. I'm guilty. I didn't think it would light, but it did. And man, when it lit, it was like and smoke and fire everywhere. And it was had nothing to do with my message. All right. So, but you know, when we look at the Word of God and we see, guys, the Word of God is so sweet, and it matures us, and it grows us, and it equips us, and it prepares us, it guides us, it directs us. I mean, the Word of God is just absolutely shapes our lives and then shapes those that are around us, because if it's shaping us, we're going to shape them, amen? And so we're going to be that light. We're going to be the influence. But it's interesting, George Barna, he wrote The State of the Church. And when he wrote The State of the Church, and this goes back 10 years, 12 years. When he wrote the book, granted, these stats are old, but here's the tragedy that I want you to see. Even though they're older stats, it's worse today than it was when he wrote it. And so you think about what I'm going to read to you, and then think that it's actually worse today. He wrote this. He conducted a survey of Christians. And then here's what he discovered about their knowledge of the Bible. 48%. Now think about 48. That's almost half. Amen. Right? We're doing math. 48% could not name the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 48% of Christians could not name them. 60% could not name 5 out of the 10 commandments. 60% Christians could not name 5 out of the 10 commandments. And he came to this conclusion. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large they don't know what it says. And because they don't know it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. Guys, the reason I wanted to talk about the Word of God today is because I don't want you to be illiterate, and I want you to understand a little bit of it. I want you to understand that if you want your life to change, you have to read this and then apply it. Reading alone is just not going to get you where you need to be, but reading it and applying it, that will get you where you need to be. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so when we look at the Word of God, God says, listen, it is profitable for everything. Look here in 17. Everything that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the Word of God, how important is it? Well, and how does it keep on giving and keep on giving? It keeps on giving so that we are thoroughly equipped. We are complete. We are whole, lacking nothing to do everything that God has called us to do. And so as we're looking at Christmas and we're thinking about Jesus, amen, 'tis the season, amen. And so as we're looking at this and we think about how God says, listen, I've not left you short anywhere. I've given you the Word of God so that you can be thoroughly equipped, lacking nothing. What does that look like? What does that mean for us? Because I talk to so many and I hear, Pastor, I'm struggling. Pastor, I'm depressed. Pastor, I don't have answers. Pastor, is God this? Is God that? Where's God? What's God doing? And as I'm going through this and I ask the question, are you reading the Word of God? I don't have time to read it. You're going to struggle. You know, men, and I say men, not man as humanity, but men as men. Right? Just kind of clarify it. We have a problem. Men have a problem. And here's the problem. We go out and we buy something that, or our wife, that's probably our biggest problem, is our wife goes out and buys something that needs assembled. And they bring it home. Or they ask us to go pick it up. Or we have to ask a friend with a truck to go pick it up. And then it's dropped off, or they just have it delivered, or Amazon knocks on the door, and there it is. And they go, honey, I need you to put this together. And immediately, our testosterone level rises, because we are men, and we conquer. And so we take that box, and we rip it open, because deep down inside, we are excited. And the thing that is laying on the very top of whatever is in that box is a nice, beautiful pamphlet in a little sealed plastic bag. And we take that and we go like this. Oh, we don't need that. Yeah. Oh. And we take everything out. And we lay it all out. There's no order. We just lay it all out. And then we open up the bag of the nuts and the bolts. And we open it up. No order. And then we go, where do we start? And the wife will come in. Honey, are you done? When I'm done, I will let you know. And we look at the mess we have created. And all the pride and all the I'm a man dissipates when we realize we don't know what we're doing. But we won't admit it. And we are determined to assemble this. And we start. If it's a table, it may rock. If it's a toy, it may not work. If it's a swing set, it may fall down. And we will say, it's not my fault. I did it right. Or we will say, no, that's what it's supposed to do. Right? But we will not come over and pick up the instructions and learn how to do it right. I am man. Hear me roar. And when it comes to life, we do the exact same thing, only all of humanity. So ladies, welcome to our club. Amen? Right? We do the exact same thing. We go, I can figure it out. And so we leave our instruction manual down because we don't have time to look at it. And even when we get so frustrated and we go, okay, the answers are right here. No, I refuse to give up what I can figure out. And so we hang in there only to end up like this. And yet, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, the word of God is profitable for everything to make you complete, thoroughly equipped, lacking nothing. And yet, we continue to walk away from it. We continue to leave it lay. We continue to convince ourselves, I can figure it out. Only to continue to be frustrated. Guys, when we look at the Word of God and how does it keep on giving, there's eight things. Okay, eight. There's eight things that we can look at here. Eight things I want you to write down. When you get down to the last five, this will work. All right. Number one, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. What does that look like? Psalm 119:1. Blessed. By the way, we're going to be hanging in Psalm now for all the way through, so you guys can scroll and highlight if you wish to do that. And some of you go, well, I can't write in my Bible. That's sacrilege. My tongue doesn't want to say that word. It's rebelling. And so, but listen to me. Write in your Bible. Highlight it. Do you know why? Because it's your instruction manual and you want to highlight the things that are important. So when you go back and you forget a year down the road and you start opening your Bible again, you see it and you go, oh, I remember that. Oh, what a golden nugget treasure that is. Highlight, underline, write in your Bible because, guys, I'm telling you, it will bring back memories. It will bring back so many things. And then when you get into the Word of God, it will bless your soul again. And so don't think you can't write in your Bible. Listen, you can write in it. You can highlight it. Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And so we can be blessed if we walk in the way of the Lord or the law of the word of God in the Lord. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, listen, if you're obedient to this, God will bless you. But if you don't know this, how can you walk in the way of the Lord? If you don't know this, how can you know who God is? How can you know who the Lord is? How can you know the sweetness and taste the honey if you don't get into the Word of God? Guys, I'm telling you, when we look at the Word and so many people are like, I don't need to read, God just reveals it to me. You're an idiot. I'm just, okay, you didn't like that one? Listen, You cannot tell me that you know the things of God if you don't know the Word of God, because you won't understand God. And the Bible tells us to test the spirits. And you go, what do you mean test the spirits? How do you know the Word is from God if you don't know the Word of God? I'm telling you guys, you cannot say, oh, God just reveals it to me. Well, where does it say in the Bible? I don't know. Does it even say it in the Bible? I don't know. How do you know it's from God? We pretend like nobody's out there when they talk back. Psalm 1, look here in Psalm 1. And it's Psalm 1, 1 through 3. And it says this, blessed is the man, blessed. Remember I said number one is blessed. And boy, I got to roll on before my time runs out. I want you to have all eight. Blessed is, I know some of you already made it. When I said there were eight, some of you went, we're only going to get four. You're going to get all eight, even if I got to print out a copy and hand it to you. Number, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, and by the way, hold on, go back to 1:1 for me real quick and just hold there a second. If you notice, guys, this is a progression. This is a progression towards sin. Blessed is the one who does not, walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, you're walking, right, and you notice it, and then stands, you stop, and you go, oh, wait a minute, that sin caught my eye. And then we do this. Hey, I'm going to join you in this sin, right? Because these are two biggest sinners in the church. And so, it's a progression. And he said, blessed is the man or the person who does not progress through the sinful progression. And then look in Psalm 1:2. Go ahead. But, not the person who delights in sin, but the person who delights in the law of the Lord. Who is the law of the Lord? The Word of God. And in His law, in His Word, he meditates how long? Day and night, guys, this is constant, man. You keep putting the Word of God in, because I'm going to tell you, God in, God out. Garbage in, garbage out. Amen? And so blessed is the one that meditates day and night on the Word of God. You will be blessed, 1:3. And here's the cool part. This is a promise, by the way. This Psalm 1:1 is a promise. You will be blessed. And then it says, he shall be like a tree. That tree, literally, if you look it up, would be what do you guys make chests out of? Cedar. And so it's like a cedar tree. Why is it like a cedar tree? Do you know why? Because bugs don't eat at cedar trees. Did you know that? Bugs won't eat in a cedar tree. Do you know what else is planted by the rivers of water? So it's constantly being nourished. It's constantly getting strong. It's constantly growing. And I'm going to tell you, when the wind hits it, its roots are deep. You're not going to blow that cedar tree over. And so he says, he, who is he, the person, because he literally is gender neutral. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Listen, when you have reached your maturity, when you have reached the point where God's like, I can bless them. And then God says, you will bring forth your fruit. You will be blessed. You will prosper, whose leaf shall not wither. And if you notice the word, it says also. That also is added unto. So not only are you going to be strong and you're going to be nourished and you're going to be healthy. We have so many Christians that are so unhealthy today. Why? Well, you don't meditate on the Word of God. You're planted in the desert. What grows in the desert? A cactus. Have you ever noticed cactuses are all alone? Nobody wants nothing to do with a cactus. And you're going to bring forth your fruit in your season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Why is it that whatever he does shall prosper? Because whatever he does according to the Word of God. And whatever he does, his will is God's will. Whatever that person does, they're going to do because they're understanding God's will and they're going to live out God's will. And so that's why you're going to prosper. Did you notice that's a promise? Oh my goodness, man, I'm telling you what. Okay, here we go. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do, according to all that is written in it. For then, listen, when you start living out the word of God, when you start living the things of God, remember Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? When you start living what God says, not what you think or what you interpret or the way you feel, I'm going to tell you, you need to take your feelings and throw them out the window. Somebody say amen. Your feelings are immaterial. Oh, that was politically correct. You don't care how I feel. No. Are you lining up with the Word of God? Because if you're lining up with the Word of God, your feelings and your emotions won't be a runaway train. Look here. If you focus on the Word of God and all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Guys, another promise. Another promise. Meditate on the Word of God, you'll be blessed. Meditate on the Word of God, and listen, everything you do, you're going to be prosperous, and you're going to have good success. Meditate on the Word of God. How is it that if we meditate on the Word of God, we're going to be successful? Because you're going to do it God's way, and God blesses His way. And if you do it opposite God's way, guess what God does? Whoo, let's have nothing to do with that, Jesus. Oh, they're a child of ours? Get the paddle. That's what literally happens. And so we think, oh, God's not going to spank me. I pray He spanks you so hard your teeth rattle. Amen? How many have ever been spanked that hard? Changed your whole perspective, didn't it? Man, we became very obedient children. That's why I say, not so that you get beat, but that you become obedient to what God says. Number two, God's Word will make you pure. The second thing is, God's Word will make you pure. Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? Question. We stop there. Right? We pay attention to the punctuation in the Bible, because when you pay attention to the punctuation, you understand. I had a friend post on Facebook, and some of you may know him after I say this. There's nobody in this church. So he's like, hey, does anybody have an extra large Santa suit for a fat man laying in front of the TV or laying around anywhere? That's what it was. Does anybody have a Santa Claus suit for a fat man laying around the house? He didn't use a comma. Right? Some of you are like, what's that? So literally what he meant, hey, does anyone have a Santa suit for a fat man, comma, laying around the house? Instead, he writes it, does anyone have a extra large Santa suit for a fat man laying around the house? Like the fat man's laying around the house, not the Santa suit. So when we see this, we stop and we got to look at punctuation. How can a young man cleanse his way? Answer, by taking heed according to your word. Guys, you want to walk a pure life? You got to know this. You have to understand this. And if you don't know the Word of God, I promise you, here's what comes your way: frustration. Because you're trying to live according to your values and God says, that's wrong. And you're like, what do you mean that's wrong? God says, I want it done this way. Well, I didn't see it. It's because you don't read it. And it causes frustration. Man, I'm telling you, the Word of God will make us pure. And then look here in Psalm 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And this is the man talking, the psalmist talking to God. Your word I've hid in my heart so that I will know it, so that I will understand it, so that I can live it out, so that I don't sin against you. That's what he's saying. How many of us have hid the word of God in our heart? I know a lot of people, they study the Word of God, they learn the Word of God, they memorize the Word of God, so they can use a sword to cut somebody else with it rather than to take out the pole out of their own eye. Man, we learn the Word of God. Why? So we don't sin against God, not so that we have authority over somebody else or we're more pious. That's self-righteous, by the way. Religious. 3, you will see amazing and miraculous things. You will see amazing and miraculous things. Psalm 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word. That's what law is. Literally means word. The psalmist is saying, open my eyes. Open. Listen, everything being in order where I'm learning it, I'm seeking your face. I'm trying to do everything that you want me to do. And then he says, open my eyes so I can see wondrous things. As you're reading it, how many have ever read the Word of God and all of a sudden something jumps out off the page from a passage you've read 100 times, but then you just got it, like the light came on, and you're like, oh, that is so good, right? How many have ever been there? Yeah, right? And so I've done that, and then I'll go and I'll share it with somebody else, and they look at me like, huh? And I go, never mind, it was for me, not for you. Don't worry about it. Obviously, it was for me. But listen, you will see amazing, wondrous things. And you go, well, that was back then, not today. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, if he hasn't changed, then his wonderful, miraculous ways haven't changed. His promises haven't changed. His love for us hasn't changed. Guys, I'm telling you, we will see wonderful things from God if we meditate on his word, we learn his word, we understand his word. Guys, when it comes to the word of God, how important is it? How is it the gift that keeps on giving? Because it will always adjust our life. It will always show us something new about our Savior, about our Father which is in heaven, and about the Holy Spirit that empowers us, and about our neighbor. I'm telling you, it will equip us, it will prepare us, it will empower us. The word of God does all of that so that we can go out and see the wonderful things from our God. Man, when we get it right with God, oh my goodness, the promises and the blessings that come from him and the frustration that leaves us. Number 4, somebody say amen, you're moving, Pastor. That's what I'm talking about. I got one that listens. Okay, here we go. Number 4, God's word will revive you. God's word will revive you. Man, we get into these slumps. We get into these woe is me and everybody's guilty. I'm right there with you. I'm guilty as well. God's word will revive you. When you feel like you have no hope, God reminds you of the promises. When you feel like you've hit a dead end, God reminds you it's just a wall you got to get over. When you feel like there is nowhere to go and nowhere to look, God says, hey, look up here. And he reminds us he's there. When we feel like, oh my goodness, it is over, God says, not until I say it's over. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. And these are my promises. And I wish to open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings all over you. I wish to heal you. I wish to seek your face and for you to seek my face. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. God says, I will revive you. I will give you life. Because let's face it, life without him is death. Even if you're breathing, it's death. How many have been praying for Kelly Post's dad? He's in the hospital, ICU right now. Prognosis, glim, amen? So you keep praying for her. But I went to the hospital Thursday. Wednesday night, I was up. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I was doing paperwork. And God said, go see Kelly's dad. And I said, okay, and this is 11 o'clock at night, and so I'm putting all my stuff, just start packing all my stuff up, and got in my truck and headed over to the hospital. And God said, not tonight. I'm like, you could have told me that before I packed everything up, right? And so I said, okay, Lord. And I turned my truck around and I headed back home. I was almost, I got all the way to the hospital. And he was sleeping and God said, not tonight. And I said, okay. So I went back home. And then as I'm on my way home, God said, do it first thing in the morning. And I said, okay. And then God said, before anybody else gets there. So it's pretty easy to figure out. I'm getting up early. And I said, okay. And so I got up at 6 in the morning. I was at the hospital at 7 in the morning. And God said, listen, all I want you to do is you go in and ask him if he believes in Jesus and if he wants to receive Jesus as a Savior. That is all you do. You don't make small talk. You don't get to know him. You don't even make it emotional. You just say, hello, my name is, your name, let's go. You want Jesus? No. Goodbye. Yes. Let's do it. Right? And so literally, and I thought, man, this is the weirdest thing because normally God just says, go visit, and I go visit. And yet God has given me literally step-by-step instructions on what to do. And I'm just going, all right, Lord, it's whatever you want. So I get there. By the time I get my truck parked, get into the room, which, by the way, he didn't want any visitors, and he made it very clear, no visitors. Well, why am I so special? Because I'm pastor. And so... no, I'm kidding. So, but I don't listen to rules anyway, right? And so I go and I'm going to listen to God rather than man, amen? But wait a minute, isn't that what the Bible says? Listen to God rather than man? And so I get there and I go into the room, and there's some other things that happen, but I don't have time to tell you. So I go into the room and I said, Tom, I'm Pastor John, Kelly's pastor. How are you doing? And he said, good. I go, listen, I have a question for you. Do you know who Jesus is? If you were to die right now, and obviously time is not on your side, Tom. And you guys go, that's cruel. No, guys, it's reality. And sometimes we need to be reminded of reality to see the real truth. And God just told me, don't make this an emotional frou-frou thing. Just simply make statements and leave. And so I said, Tom, time is not on your side right now the way it appears. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? No. Would you like to know Jesus as your Savior? Because that's the only way you're going to go to heaven. And he said, yes. And so I took his hand. I led him through prayer. He prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior. And I said, Tom, can I come back and see you tomorrow? And he said, yes. And I walked out. I wasn't in that room literally 7 minutes. Is all I was in that room. Because see, when God paves the way, when God turns on the light, when God says, I will revive, it's not up to us. Listen, I didn't have to go in there and be all friendly, although I wanted to be. I wanted to get to know him. I wanted to say hello. That came in visits later. That came in when I went back to visit him Friday and when I went back to visit him yesterday. And God says, I revive. I bring life when all you see is death. And then we go back. Remember I said God blesses us? God shows us miracles. Do you realize what a miracle it is every time somebody gets saved? Do you know what kind of blessing is? If you meditate day and night on my word, and Kelly was like, God, please, all I want is for my father to be saved. God, all I want is for my father to be saved. All I want is for my father to be saved. Actually, her whole family, but at this point, her father's her main focus. And you know what God did? He answered her prayer. And so even though it looks like Tom's days are minimal, And to most people, they look and all they see is death is imminent. And you know what we see? He's going to spend Christmas with his Savior. He has been revived. How do we know that he's been revived? Because the Word of God gives this promise. And I told him, I said, Tom, I'm not going to tell your daughter your decision. If you want her to know that you asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'm going to leave that completely up to you. I am not saying a word to her. That evening, Kevin sends me a text that says, hey, Kelly's dad said you were up here and visited with him, and you took him to Jesus with you. And he told Kelly. God's word will revive, bring life. If you're depressed, hang on to the promises. You go, I can't get past me. That's the problem. Number five, that works now. Number five, God's word reveals his love to us. Psalm 119:64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. If you notice, it says it's full of your mercy. What is God's mercy? God's mercy is his love. Man, God loves us so much that he held nothing back to obtain us. Do you grab that one? God loves us so much that he allowed nothing to get in the way of purchasing you and I. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die in our stead. How many here would allow their children to die so that I could live? How many would allow your children to die so that the bum on the street, the drunk that wets himself and his vulgarity is over the top and his smell is ridiculous, and you'll allow your child to die so he can live? That's what God did. How do we know that's what God did? We line it up with the Word of God. We see the promises. We see where God says, for I loved you so much. And then he tells us how much. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. God has extended grace and God has extended mercy. God is long-suffering. That's literally what it means, is that your earth is full of mercy. God says, listen, I am not going to destroy it, although it needs to be destroyed because of the sin. And yet he says, I'll never send a flood on the earth again to wipe it out. I'll give the rainbow as a promise. And so when you guys see the rainbow or the rainbow colors, you think of the promise of God, not the ridiculousness of man. And he says, man, I promise you, the earth is full of my mercy, it's full of my love, full of my long suffering. And he says, teach me your statutes. Here's God's statutes. This is how we gain understanding. This is how we get knowledge. This is how we eliminate frustration. This is how we build a relationship with our Savior, our Father who art in heaven. It's all through this. And if you get rid of this, guys, you've gotten rid of your only hope. The Word of God keeps on giving. Number six, God's word reveals his faithfulness. God's word reveals his faithfulness. You know, how many of us are so faithful? You know, there was a day, boy, I gotta be careful not to get on a box on this one. I'm just gonna tell you. But there was a day when you seen Christians make a commitment and daggone it, they were committed. Well, today, I'm committed until the game comes on. I'm committed until something else better comes along. I'm committed unless I just feel lazy and don't want to do it. I'm committed until. Oh, I'm committed as long as it's on my terms and not yours. I'm committed as long as God expects that from me. I am not that committed. And yet God said, I am committed at any cost. I am committed all the way to the life of my son. I am committed when you don't deserve it. I am committed when you walk away, I'll stay faithful. I am committed when you cuss me, I'll love you. I'll forgive you. God said, when I started this, I knew the cost. And I'm committed. God is faithful. Why is it that the Christian is not faithful to God as a whole? Just as a whole. Sometimes I struggle with this. Psalm 119, 89 through 90 says this, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Settled. You know what that means? Fixed. Immovable. Settled. "Your faithfulness endures to everyone." Everyone. "You establish the earth and it abides." Next. "Through your precepts I get understanding." What is God's precepts? You want understanding? It's here, guys. It is here. If we forfeit this, we forfeit so much. "Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." How do we know it's false? If it's not in here and if it doesn't line up with this, it is false. Which is why you can't depend on your feelings. It's why you can't depend on anything but this. And if it is contrary to this in any way, you throw it out. "Your word is a lamp to my feet." What? This. "And it's a light to my path." What? This. You're in darkness. You don't know where you're at. You don't know where you're going. You're confused. You're angry. You're irritated. You got all this whatever going on in your life and you can't fix it. You can't sort it out. You need a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You need to get into the Word of God. You live a frustrated life. It's because you're not living according to the Word of God. You don't understand what's going on and you think it's so unfair. You're not living according to the Word of God. You don't understand it. Jesus already said it's not going to be fair. Jesus already said you're going to be persecuted. Jesus already said if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Jesus already said, listen, I will deliver you. I will give you peace, but I will not take you out of the world. Next. Oh, that is 105. Hold on, Annette. So when we see this, God's word reveals that he is faithful. Guys, man, God is so good. And the only way we know it is because of this. And so when people go, well, I ask them, do you believe all the word of God? Oh, I believe half of it. And then you don't believe Jesus. And Jesus isn't your savior. And you go, well, that's not true. Yes, it is. Jesus says in John 8:47, you don't believe my word because you're not of God. So if you don't believe this, you're not even saved. And if you're not saved, you're not a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you're not going to heaven. And yet God says, I'm faithful to keep calling you to be my child. I'm faithful to bring you in. I'm faithful that this I live and I die. I'm abide by this word right here so that you can live. Man, when we look at how faithful God is, oh my goodness. So then we look here, God's word, number 7. God's word gives wisdom and direction. God's word gives wisdom and direction. Look here in Psalm 119, 104. I just read that, didn't I? Well, you know what? There you go. It's a lamp and a light because I messed up. If we look at Psalm 119, 89, that was his faithfulness. And I read that. Did I read that? Yep, so let's move on. Go to number 8. See that? Because of my mistake, we're getting out early. Amen. And everybody said? Amen. Only a few did. I'll remember those voices. Number 8. So 7 was God. God's word gives wisdom and direction. That's Psalm 119, 104 through 105. And then number 8 is God's word will give you great peace. God's word will give you great peace. Guys, how many here want great peace? I look at what's going on. I look at what I deal with every day. I look at the condition of man, because as a pastor, I have to deal directly with the condition of man. And I see frustration. And I'm going to tell you, when I step away from the Word of God, and yeah, as your pastor, there's times I get slack. And I start noticing frustration. I start noticing just things about me start changing. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. John, you, what are you doing, son? You gotta get back at it. Amen? God's Word will give you great peace. Psalm 119, 165. You'll pull that up. Great peace have those who love your law. What's your law? Great peace have those who love the Word of God, who even though it cuts them and they bleed, they welcome it. That's what loving it means. How many love your children and they constantly break your heart? Great peace have those who love the Word of God. And look here, nothing causes them to stumble. When we look at the peace that God gives us, and He even says, I'll give you peace that passes all understanding, not as the world gives, but as I give. And the reason it passes all understanding is because we can't even explain it. How many have had that peace? Your world is erupting, your world is exploding, and everything around it, it seems to be chaos, and people around you don't know what to do, they don't know what to say, and they come up to you there and they go, how can you be so calm about this? And you say, well, God's in control. Well, if He's in control, why is all this chaos? Because man's running it. How many times, right? How can God let this happen? God says, you want it your way? Go ahead. Ooh, look at that train wreck. Right? And yet God said, for His children that know His Word will have great peace. And the great peace that we have, nothing will cause us to stumble. And yet, we go to work and we allow our coworkers to absolutely destroy our mood. We allow our coworkers to absolutely dictate our temperament. We allow our family to put us in positions where we lie. Oh, wait, I know it's a little white lie, but nonetheless, right? Because we've justified that one. We call it white instead of black. And it's like, a lie is a lie. It doesn't matter what color code it is. And God says here that His Word will give us great peace if we understand it, if we live by it, if we abide by it. And nothing outside of God and you are going to cause you to stumble. Nothing is going to ruin your day when you're clinging on to Jesus. How can you have a bad day when Jesus is holding your hand and you guys are walking through the park? We have a bad day when we let go of Jesus' hand and walk on our own. Guys, we can't do that. As we go through this season, as we're looking at the things that keeps on giving, I want you to see the Word of God is the first thing that God gave us, so that we can understand the gift He was about to give us on the 25th of December. The Word of God. The Word of God is everything we need. Why is it we don't hold it to the highest regard, the highest esteem at the highest above everything else? Why is it that we allow Satan to confuse us, to frustrate us, when we have the answers, if we'll just stop and read the instruction manual? Why do we allow so many things to invade the space that only God should have? It's because we don't take the time to learn this, to understand God, to receive all he wants to give us. Guys, you want to have all the gifts of God? You need to get into the Word of God. If you meditate on it, he's going to bless you. Have we not seen this? If you meditate on the Word, God's going to bless you. If you meditate on the Word, you're going to have peace. If you meditate on the Word, you're going to be healthy. If you meditate on the Word, your mind's not going to spin out of control. If you meditate on the Word, you will walk in his statutes upright, with integrity, with character, and with strength. And then God will give you the peace that passes all understanding. It's the Word of God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you don't know the Word, you don't know where you're at, you are frustrated with life, you don't understand life, and you know death may knock on your door on the way out of this door. We're not promised tomorrow. Or you say, man, I want the blessing of God, but I pray and my prayers just hit the ceiling, they bounce right back down. It's like, who is God? I want to give you an opportunity to meet him. Like every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this invitation, but I'm sure enough going to give you opportunity. I say opportunity because this is the greatest opportunity in your life. There'll be nothing greater, nothing better. If you're here today and you do not know the Jesus that I've been talking about in this Bible, you don't know the God that I've been talking about, that this Bible talks about, if you don't know any of the promises, if you don't have peace, if you've not been revived, if you feel like you don't have life, if you're confused about death, then I'm going to say you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And so if you want the blessings of God, you have to surrender your life to God. You might say, what does that look like? Well, the Bible says that in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, it doesn't say if you understand it all, he says if you believe it. If you believe it, then you shall have life. Then you shall have heaven as your gift at home. Then you shall have the peace of God, the direction of God, the touch of God. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you go, how do I know that? If you are not sure that you're going to heaven when you die, you don't know Jesus. And if you say, well, I think I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, I'm not bad, I haven't done anything bad, I do good things, I am so sorry, but the Word of God says it's not by works. And so therefore you will not go to heaven because of what you have done. You only go to heaven because of what Jesus has done. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. Jesus conquered death and hell. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And if you believe that, then I'm going to invite you right now to surrender your life. And you say, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I invite you to pray it after me. But I want you to understand that the prayer, the words aren't what save you. It is the fact that you really believe what you're saying. I didn't say understand it. I said that you believe it. And so if it's your desire to receive Jesus as your Savior, you pray this prayer after me. And you have to believe in your heart the prayer, or else it's just empty words and your spiritual condition doesn't change and neither does your destination. Quietly to yourself, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have made poor decisions. I have made decisions that went against your will. I have made decisions that went against your desire. I have done things that you have told me not to do. And today I ask you to forgive me of all the wrong I've ever done. Today I repent of all the wrong I've ever done. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe Jesus conquered death and hell. I believe that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that by believing in Him with all my heart, that I become a child of the King. So Lord, today I believe on Jesus. Today I give my life to You.